Yes.
Any children here are dismissed to go to their classrooms? That does not mean you, Carl. You have to stay here, sorry. Welcome. I want to welcome people that are here this morning. I want to welcome Bo. Bo and his wife are from Rich Jack's. They came to see me this morning. Thank you, Bo. You're an awesome guy. And also my uncle and aunt, Brian and Janet, came from West Jack's, right, to see me. So thank you for that. Any other guests here today with us this morning? No more guests? Where are you from, brother? Welcome here from St. Peterson, Tallahassee. Great church. Welcome home. Well, guys, I want to thank you because I am Mike Miller. Kim and I left here 10 years ago to go to the mission field in Honduras. And I want to share some stories that God has done. And so all the things I share with you this morning are not from me. I give all the honor and glory to my Heavenly Father who did these through us. So all the stuff we've done, we give honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning being here with my home church of Redeemer. I just pray you just bless us through your word, Father. Your word has been breathed out over us. You're amazing, God. You spoke. You said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be life, and there was life. God, the only word we have is from you. So teach us. Show us today out of your word. Through me, use this broken person, this sinner. Use me today, Father, to reveal your word and to share and change lives here, to go out and change lives out there, Father. You're an awesome God. We love and praise your holy name. Christ, let me pray. Amen. Well, guys, I want to share a few stories this morning before I get started with a sermon. I'm going to be preaching out of Luke and out of 2 Timothy, so you can turn your Bibles to there if you want to. Share some stories with you about prayer. I'm calling this sermon Prayer and the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. So I want to start with prayer. Through prayers of you and people that prayed for Kim and I, we have built a project in Honduras. We left here 10 years ago with nothing. Now we have 16 children. We got a coffee farm we raise funds with. We have met people from the Episcopal Church, Anglican Church, Methodist Church, Calvary Chapels, from around the world to come and see us that we have shared the gospel of Christ with. I consider it an honor to be do what I do because I preach to people that may not even hear the gospel in other churches. Like we heard today, people have gotten away from the Word of God and they're believing things that aren't true. And so I'm able to share and shed the light of Christ on people that may not even hear that in their own church. So I just want to praise God for that. A couple stories. One, Kim and I moved to Honduras and we left here, I say, brokenhearted and empty-handed. So with that said, God has blessed us with two beautiful daughters through our ministry. A lot of you may know our story. Kim and I had a stillbirth 11 years ago, the 13th of October. So, it's fresh in my heart. But God is good. We go through trials in life, and those trials mold and shape us to who we are. So I have this to say, more than I've changed Honduras, Honduras has changed me. God has taken this man that was afraid to speak in front of people. And here I am today, sharing you God's love and God's power, what he's done in our lives and wants to do in yours. So the first story I want to share is we moved to Honduras and we had nothing to start a ministry with. And we moved to Honduras and 2008 happened. The Episcopal Church, Anglican Church split. So the odds were against us, but amen, God loves high odds. We are in an economic mess here in the country. Our church is in a mess in itself, but God provides. I'll never forget this. Kim and I moved to Honduras, and the Church of Honduras gave us this land to build a home on. And we lived there for a year. And I said, I can't build a home here. It's too remote. There's so much unrest here. There's no power. There's no water. So Kim goes, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to find somewhere else to build a home at. So we started praying and searching. And one day I'm riding my horse with a young man. We came into this land. And I saw the land. And at that time, the Spirit spoke to me. He goes, you're going to buy this land. I'm like, you're crazy. So anyway, not this, that. He gave me the price I'm going to pay for the land. So I asked the kid, is it for sale? He goes, I think it is. Here's the guy's number. So I call this guy. I'm Carlos Martinez. He's a great friend of mine. Carlos Martinez went to school at University of Gainesville. So he's a Gator. No offense to any of you other people here. But anyway, I call this guy on the phone, speaking my broken Spanish to him. He goes, you know, I speak English. So, oh, thanks. So I start talking to him in English, and he comes up to see Kim and I with his wife, Naomi, and his daughter, David. I mean, his son, David. So he says, I share a story with him. So Carlos, we want to buy this land and build a children's home. So Carlos goes, you know what? I want to sell this land, but I want to give you a better price than what I already have. I'm going to call you tomorrow with a better price because you're going to serve our country with this land. You're going to take our kids off the streets and put them in your home and love them. And I want to be a part of that, he told me to begin with. So he called me the next day and gives me a price. It's the same price the Holy Spirit gave me when I was on the property. So he bought the land. So how many of you believe that God answers prayers through cell phone calls? So we come back, we buy the land. Bill Driscoll comes down and blesses the land with Harry Parsons. It's just a great time. So I go back to the States to raise funds. Well, a boyhood mentor of mine in the RAs in the Baptist Church, Luller Wells, comes to me at their church and says, Mike, I want to build a house for you. Well, take for granted, this man just went bankrupt 5 years ago. He had a gator farm. He lost everything he had. So I'm thinking, how are you going to do this? I'm like, okay, God, you're bigger than this. So he said, I want to build a house for you. I've been playing penny stocks on the internet. I'm doing really well with them. So I want to do this for you. What does it cost? It's $25,000. And so I gave him the price. I get a call from him 2 weeks from then. He goes, Mike, I'm sending a check in for $25,000 for the first house. So cell phone calls, God answers prayers. So we get our first house built. We have construction. We start having new churches. Things start going on there. And this really cool thing happened. We have a partner with a church. I'm not going to mention the state or the name. I don't want anybody. We have a partner with a church that's a very liberal church. And this guy came down in a group one time, and I'm talking with this guy, and I said, hey, man, do you even believe? I start sharing with him. He goes, well, I go to church for this. It's a social outlet. I'm an investor, and I just go there to play golf and to get my clients. And so I said, do you believe in God? He goes, not really. So the Pharisee in me, I'm a recovering Pharisee, by the way. The Pharisee in me wanted to hit him in the head with the Bible. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I shared with him that week. And I said, look, I'm sending the Bible home with you. I'm highlighting some stuff to prove who God is. So I go back and see him in the fall, and he goes, you know what? I believe in God. So that's pretty cool. But you know what? In the Garden of Eden, man sinned. And our connection with God was broken. And the only way back to God is through his son, Jesus. I want you to read these things, and it shows you who Jesus is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So he reads them, and I come see him the next time. He goes, you know what? I think I believe in Jesus. I'm like, praise God. And you know what? I have a saying from a priest I've known for a long time. I'm a fisherman. I catch, and God cleans. So I said, God, you know what? He's still in this church. I said, you know what? God has showed me the cleaning because I can't do that. You know what his heart is. You know how broken he is. It's like me, how broken I am. So this is amazing. So I just want to look into God's word with us this morning. And I want to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Is this on or is this off? Make sure, yeah. So I just want to share some things from the word of God that God revealed to me as I was reading these scriptures, preparing for this message. It's just really powerful stuff. Jesus told them this story. Remember, he just got finished explaining the kingdom of God to them in the chapter before that. And he tells them a story about the persistent widow. He told them a parable. And he said to pray and not lose heart. Wow. How do we pray without losing heart? And also, what makes us lose heart? Does pride sometimes make us lose heart? I know with me, I'm gonna be open my heart to you. With me, it's pride a lot of times. I think, well, I've got it figured out. You know, God, it's like, you know, cast your cares upon the Lord. Well, my picture with that is I have a fishing pole. And I cast my cares, but I cast them where I want to. And that line's still hooked to them, and I can reel them back in whenever I want to. How do you do that? But God wants you to cast your cares upon him and not take them back. But as human beings, as people of sinful people that need God's grace, how do we do that? We have to do it through the Word of God. We have to be daily, sometimes hourly, in the Word to be refreshed and renewed. Because without this living Word, we have nothing. I heard a preacher preach, this is the biggest miracle in the world, is this written Word that was God-breathed. Do you understand that? God breathed this Word. Every word in that Bible is true. There is no fault in that Bible. We live in a society today, and we all lean towards it sometimes, that says that Word of God, yeah, it's a Bible, but it doesn't pertain to daily stuff. It's spiritual things. Well, you know what, guys? Everything we deal with on a daily basis is in that Bible. Rearing children, marriage, business, everything. How to come to Christ in the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's breathed. It's God's written Word. Like I said before, God spoke and light came to existence. Do you believe that? God spoke and he breathed and you were there in your mother's womb. I have this saying that, you know what? God breathed life into me in the womb and into you in the womb. But we all are looking for that fresh breath. Until we come back to Christ, we don't have that fresh breath breathed back into us. We're broken, sinful people. So we look for that fresh breath. And you know what? We need it still as Christians. We need renewal. But you know how we get it? In God's Word. Through preaching, of course. But you know what? We need to also be self-feeders. You know, when you're babes in Christ, you hear podcasts, you hear preachings, you hear teaching in Sunday school. But you know what? You come to a point in your life when you're mature Christians. And you need to be daily in the Word of God so God can be speaking to you personally, me personally. We need to be, I call it self-feeding yourself. I'm guilty of it. About 5 years in the ministry in Honduras, I was burnt out. You know why? I was not in the Word of God. I was giving, I was not receiving. And how many of you have been there before? I mean, I know you have. We are called as believers to be in the Word and hearing the Word and preaching the Word. So if we're not in our daily devotion, and not just that, be in prayer that God will reveal the Word to you. There's a preacher. There's a preacher, H.A. Ironside, told a visiting Irishman, Andrew Fritzer, who came to California to recover from tuberculosis. The old man could barely speak because his lungs were almost gone. But he opened his worn-out Bible until his strength was gone. He simply, sweetly opened up truth after truth in a way that Ironside had never seen it before. Before he knew it, Ironside was in tears running down his cheeks. He said to Fritzer, "Where did you get these things? Can you tell me where I could find a book to open them up to me? Do you learn these in seminary or college?" Fritzer answered, "My dear young man, I learned these things on my knees, on a mud floor in a sod cottage in Northern Ireland." Where do we learn things, guys? I mean, I know for me, we hear people preach and speak, but we're going to learn more when we're on our knees in prayer, asking God to reveal who he is to us, who he is to me. And not just that, I have to ask God, who am I in you? And you know what God has shown me? God has shown me that I'm an evangelist. And you know what? I don't like that sometimes, to be honest with you. because that means I got to go out and preach, and I got to step out of my comfort zone sometimes. For example, I was in Walmart the other day. Believe it or not, in Walmart. There was this black lady ahead of me in line, returning something in Walmart, and I saw the lady had a cross on. And the Spirit tells me, ask her about her cross. I'm like, I'm in Walmart. I hear again, Spirit says, ask her about her cross, Mark. I'm like, so I said, ma'am, what a beautiful cross you have. I said, you go to church somewhere? This lady broke down in tears. She says, you know what? The Spirit's been on my heart to get back in church. She goes, I'm going to be honest with you. She says, I was raised in a very Holy Spirit-filled house. My parents brought me up in a Baptist church. My children hadn't even been to church because of me. And Spirit's been telling me, I need to get back in the church, have my children in the church. And by you asking me this, now I'm going to do that. Folks, the Bible says the harvest is ready. Who are the harvesters? Is it just me? It's all of us. We're all missionaries. We're all called to share the gospel of Christ. Guys, in the garden, like I said before, God gave Adam and Eve the whole garden. He said, don't eat of one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The serpent, Satan, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of you and I, came to her and said, did God tell you that? Well, think about this. God didn't tell her that. You know who God told that? To her husband. Her husband was there with her. Her husband let Eve be deceived by Satan. They ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were naked. All of a sudden, they realized they were naked. Okay? What did God say then? God said, you know what? We're going to cast you out of this garden because if you eat of the tree of life, you will live forever in your sin. Protection, God sent him out of the garden. But God said, we are going to block the way. Think of that word way. We're going to block the way to the tree of life. Jesus, throughout the whole Bible, is revealing Jesus. Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way was blocked. He is the way. The only way back to the tree of life, guys, I'm sorry to tell you this, I'm going to say it, is Jesus. But we in our political society are so afraid to say that name. But guys, you know what? There is no other redeemer. There's no other person that can bring you back to God the Father except for Jesus. So, as an evangelist today, I'm going to ask you guys, do all of you know Jesus? I'm going to ask you, do any of you need that grace that that Christians have received to come humbly before your Father and find the way? Because you know what, guys? It says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. You're either going to bow now here on earth, or one day you're going to be so humbled in front of the king, you're going to bow and he's going to say, you know what? I didn't know you. That's reality, guys. I'm sorry to say it. It's harsh. But you know what? One day, we're all going to be in front of God Almighty, the heavenly king. And you know, I always say, I'm going to ask him something. You know what? I'm not going to anything. I'm going to fall because of his holiness. I'm not going to ask God something. He's been so holy, I'm going to fall on my face and I'm going to bawl like a baby. So I ask you today, if you're here, please do not leave here before you know this grace, before you know this love that you can't get here on earth, before you spend eternity somewhere you don't want to be with me in eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior. Because you know what? We're not going to be healed here, guys. We have a cross in Honduras, and those of you who've been to Honduras have seen it. I built this chapel, and I wanted a cross there to represent Christ and his love for us. We had this cross built in North Carolina. It was a stained glass cross, and it was sent to us. And my biggest concern was it getting broken on the way to Honduras, and the guy said, it can't be broken. So I received this cross at the Port Authority, and I hear cracking in the box. I'm like, this thing's broken. So I get it up to the children's home, and I lay on the chapel floor, and I open the box, and this thing's shattered. But you know what? I'm glad it got shattered. You know why? Because we all come to that cross shattered. We all come to the cross of Jesus that died for you and me, broken people. And I left a small hole on that cross. Let me tell you why. Because you know what? This side of heaven, I and you are not going to be healed. You know, I heard testimonies this week from people that go to this parish. Barbara Meller is one of them. I heard amazing testimonies how she came to her faith. So guys, I'm going to ask you today, please don't leave here if you don't know Jesus. Please don't leave here, because you know what's going to happen. One out of one of us are going to die at some point. I'm not saying to be today, but we are going to die. If Christ doesn't come back first, guys, I have news for you. We're going to the grave. So, something different today. I asked Bill about this. We're doing first of the people. We're doing a little different. Barbara, why don't you come forward, please, up in the front, if you don't mind, in your wheelchair. We're going to do first of people up here in the front. We're going to come forward with our prayers, petitions, to the altar of God. I know it's kind of, as Americans, you know, I've been in Latin America way too long maybe. As Americans, we don't want to go to the altar. Well, I'm going to ask you, whatever you need, please come forward. Please come forward, Barbara. Please come forward, everybody. If you have needs today, I want you to bring them up here to the altar. You know what? We have the living God living in us. Do you realize that? Once you're a Christian, once you're a believer, the God that spoke things into existence lives in you now. So I want you to come forward. We're going to pray for the people up here forward. And I'm going to ask people to pray for our nation. Come forward. Please, Charlie, Carl, please come forward, guys. We're going to pray for the people up here at the altar. I know it's different. Neil.